This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, yes. That loud, offensive, banging music indicates that of the Heritage Radio Network shows, ours is perhaps the Howard Stern-esque. We just saw our previous show leave, the Foment About It, and they were talking about this single-origin artisanal cider, and I'm carrying in a bag of single-origin canned beers, meaning single-origin in my refrigerator.
Yeah, so, and they're mostly light beer.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go with a somber shout-out to Jimmy Pots and Pans, Jimmy Carbone of Jimmy's 43. Wednesday night, they have a fundraiser at his place due to the East Village explosion. I live actually just three blocks away, so mm-hmm. I see him pretty frequently. So if you can make it out to Jimmy's 43, it's a bar on 7th Street, just off 2nd Ave, Wednesday
night. Right next to the giant explosion.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, I will be there, and if you come up and talk about the show, if you donate $33 to it, 100% of the proceeds go to Jimmy's cause, you can be an in-studio guest. You can join us.
That's right. We will do it. We will do it.
I have a long-winded story, Reverend, but let me introduce you first. The Reverend is back.
I'm back.
He's back in the New York groove. He's wearing He's wearing Brooklyn gear.
I got my Lakers jacket. I got my Yankees hat. And I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah. So we're gonna because of our guests who
we're
are also
Boston
bar
fans.
Related. We're gonna introduce them in a moment. But I was in Florida from Thursday to this morning, mm-hmm. And it would be too long for me to tell the whole story, but I was there for a corn on the cob eating contest. I went in early. I spent one day driving around the Everglades, big Cypress National Preserve, alligators, vultures. It was awesome. It was incredible. Newts, little things on the street, giant
newts.
Grasshoppers.
Newts.
And I know one of our guests is from Florida. We're going to have to find out. And then the next day, I was on a boat. There was a boat, the Danny Glover, and I was supposed to be on that boat, but they decided, putting a competitive meteor on a fishing boat, they needed a bigger boat. I went on the Blue Diamond with Buck, the captain. And to give you an indication, he looks like Christian Bale will in 20 years, like machinist, American mm-hmm. Psycho Christian Bale.
Wow.
Like, really a presence. Jeez. So we get on at 7 a.m., and he looks at me, and he says, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. Boom. The beer's open. And the one rule was he's never going to ask for a beer, but if his hand is empty, it's implied he wants one. So basically, this was like real life Hemingway, Old Man of the Sea stuff.
Got it.
Ryan, my host, who owns the Danny Glover boat, catches a fish. They call it dolphin. It's mahi-mahi. Beautiful, iridescent fish. Very fast. Looked like Isaiah Thomas for the Celtics. I mean, it's moving, it's grooving. And there's another woman on the boat, Wendy, the sublime Wendy, who wants, she's like, crazy legs has to take a picture with the fish. Right. And all I know is, like, if I lose that fish overboard, I'm going overboard.
Right.
So it's flopping. I'm a landlubber. And then I hear Buck, the captain, say, you might want to put that in the ice box before it starts hemorrhaging. And as he says that, the fish explodes in blood, like sniper blood, like Dexter blood splatter.
Really?
Now, if you notice, what I decided to do, I was wearing a Uniqlo white linen shirt, long sleeve, maybe not the best choice. And I decided I would wear it today around New York.
You so actually fit into a Uniqlo shirt? I mean, really?
I am wearing it now. What you've...
I thought that was the design of the shirt.
This is dolphin blood. This is dolphin blood. And no one. I went to the laundromat where I didn't wash the shirt. I just dropped off my laundry professionals. I went to the New York Public Library. There's been knife fights there before.
Is it?
It's just blood splatter.
Oh,
and
my
no
God.
One stopped me in New York. Dolphin blood all over me. But anyway, and I came second in corn. But it was great. It was a great trip. I paid my bills. I am very excited. Because speaking of competitive eating, speaking of sports in general, speaking of life in general,
My
favorite bar in New York City is a bar that is a Boston bar. And I am from Boston, but there's a lot of things about Boston that I take issue with. So to have the best of Boston transplanted into a drinking establishment, the slogan of the bar is Behind Enemy Lines since 2005, and it's Professor Tom's. And we have proprietors, we have managers, we have bartenders here today. So I'm welcoming our guests. We have Pete Levin.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. We've got the Reverend of the Church of Bracketology, Matthew Raycourt.
Thanks for having me here.
Wesley, I'm going to say it wrong. Baraderich?
That's close enough Wes Bedrigian.
I just know him as Wes. Yeah. Wes Bedrigian. He's the man who hands me a canned beer. We have the same discussion maybe three times a week. I walk into Professor Tom's, and he goes, "What do you have?" And I go, "Whatever you're looking to get rid of." And he just hands me a can of something, and I'm happy.
We got a nice thing going on. We got a nice little rapport there. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And Tabitha Telstrom.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm well. Now, you are from Florida.
I am from
Where
Florida.
In Florida?
The real Florida, the West Coast Florida.
That's like Tampa?
Sarasota.
Sarasota, okay.
It's beautiful.
How far is that from, I'm very bad at direction and geography, how far is that from like where Big Cypress and the Everglades are?
You're like in the middle.
Okay.
I'm like southwest Florida, right. Like across from Miami.
I was in Miami. I was staying in Miami. Have you ever been to the Mac Deuce Bar?
No, I've never been. I hate Miami.
Oh, yes, but this you would like.
It's like the fake artificial Florida
I agree.
That people think that is this, what it is.
Artificial Florida.
This bar,
artificial
though,
Florida.
The
no,
Mac Deuce Bar.
I actually love that part of Florida. I actually do. I love the plasticness of it.
I love
the silicone of it.
It's like living in Miami Vice, and I just never want that. I would just never want that.
They filmed an episode of in the Mac Deuce Bar. Miami Vice in the 80s paid for all the neon. Very like, you can't tell if it's like a merwoman or like a topless girl. They left it as is. They've never renovated since. So when I'm there, my friend Sam Barkley and I, we drink at three bars in Miami Beach. We drink at the Mac Deuce. We drink at Ted's Hideaway, which is like a better Coyote Ugly. And we drink at the VFW Hall. Wait. And that's it. I don't go to any of those trendy clubs. But you made it. You made it to New York. How long ago?
5 years.
And how long have you been working at Professor Tom's?
6 months, I think.
And now, does it...
I don't remember a lot of it, so it's like a weird...
Like
But most of the employees
like
are
like
from...
Like a weird brownout period.
Most of the employees
continuous.
Are from Boston, so did you have some trouble assimilating?
No.
Did you fake an accent to get the job?
I did. Yeah. Like, and I was like, like, I totally went to school in Boston, you know?
My name's Margie from Dorchester, but you can call me...
Something like that, like that. You know. And then,
who got the Pepperidge Farm?
Yeah. Close enough.
Did you say you were like Casey Affleck's like accent manager? Like,
well,
you didn't
like,
want to
no,
go as high
I,
as Damon
I,
or
I,
Ben.
I said I was Ben Affleck's mistress. And I'm like, all right, golden. Just golden.
All right.
Golden.
But you know what?
But don't tell Jennifer Garner. She can't find out.
The guys at Professor Tom's hear that all the time. So, and now, Wes, where are you from originally?
Yeah, so I came down to New York from Worcester, Massachusetts. Little
Worcester. Worcester.
Right. That's really important. You got to say
it's,
it right.
It's Worcester.
Yeah.
And it's spelled Worcester, but yeah, it's always going to be Worcester to me.
Well, that's a source.
That's how that's like people in New York, they're like, is it Houston Street or Houston Street? And in Massachusetts, that's how you tell the, you know, the massholes.
I mean, do you know the old Costello skit, which was like, I don't like mustard. I like Worcestershire to share the sauce. You know?
And Matthew, where are you from?
Worcestershire.
I'm from a little town called Newburyport.
All right.
And it actually is pronounced the way that it's spelled, unlike everything else in Massachusetts.
How?
Because there are
how,
a bunch of boating snobs.
Are you and I the same age? How old are you?
I'm 42.
I'm 44. Did you go to high school in Newburyport?
I did. NHS, class of 90.
Do you remember Belmont High School versus Newburyport, 1988?
I was drunk.
I was wicked. Yeah, that was wicked.
Yeah, 6'9" guy and like a 16-4 record, but mighty Belmont High.
That be?
We took it. We took it from you.
Oh, damn.
And then we lost. And what actually? This I'm going to introduce Pete in a moment, but this leads into after that game, we went to UMass Boston to play 3,000 people. And the Tech Tourney, which used to take place at the old Boston Garden, and the Boston High School Finals, hadn't been played there for 30 years. And the then mayor decided to reinstate that because he remembered it as a kid as a great thing for Boston. Now, I bleed Celtics green. So if you won the game, the Eastern Finals, you went for you played the West team in the Boston Garden on the parquet.
Wow.
We're playing Dom Savio, I'm a junior in high school, and I'd always heard that Danny Ainge, great Celtic, Tree Rollins bit his finger. I want to make that absolutely clear. He'd make people crack up on the foul line because he put a picture of the opposing player's girlfriend in his jockstrap. And when they went to shoot a foul shot, he'd pull it out. So I had a picture of the parquet of the Boston Garden in my jockstrap. Double overtime, 2 seconds left. My nemesis, John Conte, C-O-N-T-E, hits a jumper over our big center, and I never played in the Boston Garden. So I don't even see the Celtics in Boston because I miss the Boston Garden so much.
Do you think you got hexed for adding your own wood?
I did. But Pete, you are the owner, one of the owner and proprietors of Professor Tom's. And where did you grow up, though?
I actually grew up closer to this area here.
Now, does that cause some consternation with... I guess one of the other owners... Perhaps the reason that it's also a Michigan bar? Or?
No, I went to Michigan, the Michigan connection is mine. But one of the other owners used to work at the Riviera, which is our kind of main Boston bar competition. But I grew up in New York City as a Sox fan. My father's from Connecticut, so he raised me as a Sox
fan. What the fuck is wrong with you?
He's from Hartford, so it's right down the middle.
Hartford, because that's Boston.
Yankee Sox.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
So, when I was like 8 years old, he'd bring me to Fenway.
Let me give you a story.
Upper East Side as a Red Sox fan.
About 7 years ago, I went to New Hampshire. It was the year the it was the year that the Yankees were playing the Red Sox, right? And this is basically what fucking happened. I'm not like a New England, New England doesn't, other than the Patriots, I don't get it, right? So I didn't realize that New Hampshire is Boston. Like
for fandom purposes.
They don't always know.
So I went to go see my friend John Fell, who was actually the guitarist for the Beastie Boys. First when they were still a punk band, and I lost my luggage in the bus going up there, and some other guy who was about my size and whatever, and we figured it out, and I was gonna get my luggage back, but I had no clothes. So what does he do? He gives me and he's a Yankee fan. And he gives me a Yankee T-shirt to go to the state fair, which we're going to in there.
I'm amazed you're still alive.
No, hold on. I'm not thinking about New Hampshire as Boston. I'm not thinking that that's the deal.
Yeah.
Right? There's old ladies spitting at me.
Yes, you deserve it.
There's children like kicking dirt at me.
Of course.
You know, I'm like, what the fuck? And he's sitting here going.
Yeah, he got you.
Just loving it.
To that point, let me set the scene for Professor Tom's, because the slogan is Behind Enemy Lines in 2005. But understand that now there's been a little bit of a shift in that the Red Sox, after an 86-year drought, let's call it, have won the championship a couple times. So maybe things have changed, and I'll ask you guys this. But you walk into this bar, and depending on the sporting event, everyone is either in all Patriots gear, all Bruins gear, all Red Sox gear, all Celtics gear. It is like you're on Boylston Street in the heart of it or at Fenway. There's probably, I don't even know what the capacity is, but I always feel like it's close to, like, between the two floors, like 1,000 people. And it is a game-like atmosphere.
It's really only 150.
What? I don't believe that.
Lies.
We've never had more than one time.
I'm sorry. He's only.
Liz, our engineer, will skip back, and I'll go. It's like it's.
Never.
It's
we won't tell the fire department.
It's like 149 people there, and.
We count heads.
So I would go around to each of you, and I would want to know. So it is, and not just playoff games. I mean, it is just a regular Wednesday game. I would go around and ask what's your favorite, what your craziest moment was, but you're also your favorite personal sports moment or personal moment there would be. Now, 6 months in, Tabitha, do you have
one? You don't even want to know.
All right.
You
craziest moment?
I want to know. I'll tell you that.
We
want to
know.
We all want to know.
No, we really want to know.
Can I actually sit and think about this answer? Because, like,
all right, we'll come back to you.
It could be a heat thing.
We'll come back to you.
May I get fired if I say it? I don't know. I'm saying there's a chance.
Put in the hypothetical. Put in the hypothetical. Your favorite moment was done by your friend Margie from Dorchester.
Yeah, so there's like this girl there. Mary.
Mary and, from Portugal.
Mary. Yep. Mary sounds about right.
She's got a wicked nice dumpa, which is the highest compliment you could play a girl in Boston.
Thanks. Yeah, something like that. Again, I'm not from Boston.
She's wicked hot.
I'm not from Boston. All right.
So what happened with Mary?
You don't even want to know.
Don't worry.
We do.
I promise you won't be fired.
These people right here, they want to know. We're going to tell them.
My craziest moment at Tom's?
Yes.
I think clocking out of work and shotgunning a beer at the end of the bar.
Nice. All right. Good way to finish the morning off.
It was probably a solid, 1:30 in the afternoon on maybe a Monday or Tuesday. Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Again. It's all a little hazy.
And then Wes, give us your craziest, but also give us your favorite sports memory.
Yeah, you know what? That's the fun thing about Tom's too. Is that it doesn't all have to be sports related over here. You know, we like you said, you get into that. You see these people that make that trip. They make that trip every week in and week out, especially when games start to matter.
Yeah.
But you develop a great relationship with people. So, we're there just having fun and hanging out and like. Yeah.
Pete, do you have a favorite?
Okay, because this is. I'm sorry.
Pete, do you have a favorite moment?
This is some pussy ass shit. Give us some favorite sports.
Mine's interesting because it's sort of about Tom's. It's sort of not that I took my father for his 70th birthday to see the Red Sox win the World Series in person at Fenway Park. I was at that game, but the Tom's reference is. That entire game, I'm in person getting to see the Red Sox win the World Series at Fenway Park, and I'm constantly thinking about how awesome the crowd is at Tom's.
Exactly.
Like, I
almost wish
I
was actually at Tom's rather than with my father watching the Red Sox win the World Series in person at Fenway Park, 70, for his 70th birthday.
The equivalent of his entire life.
That impact of a moment.
Since he was two.
And I still thought about how awesome Tom's.
I'm going to turn it around. I'm sorry.
No, we got to finish this up. Wait. We got to
finish it up.
Let Matthew go, and I'll do it really quick.
All right. I had to think about this because we've had a lot of memories or things we probably, more than we remember at this point. But I think the best was 07 Red Sox World Series. Red Sox World Series 07, the last game, right? Game four, because it was a sweep. And I had to go back to Massachusetts. My grandfather had passed. He wasn't a sports guy. My dad wasn't a sports guy. The fact that I became a sports guy is a miracle.
Uh-huh.
And so I go back, and basically I got a call, say goodbye. If you want to say goodbye, get up here. Go, say goodbye. He passes. Dad and I are having a drink at the local pub in our hometown, and my dad goes, "I gotta see this Tom's place you go to. We gotta go. We're gonna go tomorrow." I go, my dad has a phobia of New York City.
Okay,
he's claustrophobic. He hates crowds. He doesn't like sports, and he wants to go to Professor Tom's Game Four, clinching game of the World Series. Like, what are you nuts? And of course, this is when he's hammered. We wake up the next day, and he goes. We're going. And so I talked him into it. We drove down to New York. I'm texting the bar going, I've never asked for such a big favor, but I need a table because my dad can't stand in the crowd. Like, I got to sit him somewhere. Yep.
It's like 149 people on top of you.
Oh, yeah.
You're there. Yeah.
No.
I'm not.
No. 147.
147, sorry.
So I'm not getting a response at all.
Right.
And so we're getting closer and closer and closer, and I'm getting nervous. And then all of a sudden, I get a text from Jim, who's one of the other owners, and he's like, I just got here. It's 4 in the afternoon. He's like, it's already packed. I'm like, oh, no. Like, what am I going to do with my dad? So I tell Dad, he's like, don't worry, we'll figure it out. So we get to my apartment, drop off the car, get in the cab, go to the bar. Walk in the front. Jim grabs a high top table that normally go away when you have crowds. Puts it right in the front, right by where those TVs are. Puts two tables out there. Immediately puts a beer down and nachos.
Boom. And these nachos are giant.
My dad sat down. He had food. He had a beer. And saw the best World Series game of his life.
There it is.
And never cared about it until that moment in time.
That's true.
And then Kim Rossi sprayed champagne over his head. He didn't care.
Amazing.
And he got to understand why.
All right, I am not going to make a dickhead New York
there you go.
After that.
The Reverend. Wasn't that touching?
I mean, no, but yeah. I want to.
I know you want to. All right. Well, I know we got to go to break very soon. So I'll just give you my quick, my best moment. Diehard Celtics fan. They win in 2008. I'm at the bar. I'm outside smoking the cigar. Only time in my life I ever drunk dialed people, calling everyone I know in Boston. And then my favorite moment, my buddy Pete Davikas, he has a kid, Parker. actually, this is a good Boston accent. So he tells my roommate, Tim, you know, he meets the kid first. Oh, his name's Parker. I'm like the LL Bean jacket? He's like, yeah. I'm like, he's from Boston. His kid's Parker. Now his daughter is Piper, Packin' Piper. Parker plays at Hockeytown USA. Great, you know, Bruins fan. He's seven. It's a day game, playoff Bruins game. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll go. Everyone is dressed in Bruins gear. They greet him not like, oh, there's a little kid in the bar. Like he's just a dude in the bar. Like people are high-fiving him. Jim, the owner, gives him a hockey puck.
And a shot.
And he just thought, this is what adults do. Like, I want to be an adult. Like the bar just, well, they were like, that kid knows hockey. He's all right. So, all right, we're going to go to break when we come back with the staff of Professor Tom's on eating disorder on Heritage Radio. Drink those beers. Very good.
Co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Indeed. Thank you, Heritage. And we are back on Eating Disorder. The Reverend Crazy Legs Conti, joined by the staff of Professor Tom's. We've got Tabitha, Wesley, Matt, and Pete. In studio.
So,
and
I mean,
we're talking the Boston Bar, and you have some issue with this, Rev.
No, I don't have an issue. I'm not a hater. I'm all right. Okay, but I mean, what do you guys have to be proud of? I mean, like, I'm thinking about musical culture. You had Extreme.
Wait, we had Aerosmith.
Oh, they
Steven
suck.
Tyler's still alive.
Fuck them.
Only man to do $30 million of cocaine in his life.
Come on, the cars, man. We got the cars up there.
There's the cars. There's the Bastones. There's the...
Or well, we could talk about the sports. Happened to have won a championship in every major sport in the last 10 years.
That was a big deal because at Professor Tom's...
You're talking to a New Yorker.
The Red Sox twice.
Hold on. Am I working at Yankees?
You are in a Yankees.
I'm sorry. Is that...
You are, which inspires
so
me more.
Imagine you're this Boston bar in New York and you're winning, but one title is elusive, which is the Patriots, oddly enough, since 2005.
Oh,
so
let me tell you the story about the Patriots. In, when the Giants actually beat them, there was a bar in Williamsburg. It was called K&M Bar. Now it's called the Rolling... Go fuck yourself.
Roebling Sporting House.
All right. Okay.
He can go fuck itself right now. I mean, seriously. Yeah. It jumped the shark. But anyway, there were literally everybody in that neighborhood where I used to live came to that bar that night. It became Coyote Ugly, oh. But there were men dancing on the fucking bar. Okay.
It's not real Boston people.
So yeah. Different world, different time. Yeah.
We never saw that in the combat zone at Private Eye.
No. It was insane. Right.
That's where you chose to watch the upset Super Bowl?
Well, yeah, the reason being they were the only bar in Williamsburg that actually had that big a screen, which was their whole wall. It sounds like it was
blocked by ping pong supplies and banana hammocks, though.
I don't know.
I have to admit something embarrassing to the Professor Tom staff.
Oh.
So I was in Thailand for CP Foods Shrimp Wonton Eating Contest. I had an amazing Super Bowl experience because there was only one expat bar. One bar in Bangkok was showing it. It was called the Sport Bar. That was it. We didn't know if it was one sport, but my buddy Sam Barkley is very organized. He's like, kickoff is at 6:30. We have to be there on time. We're there on time. We're outside. They have this energy drink, and I don't even do energy drinks. It was like the napalm of energy drinks. I'm drinking that. I'm boozed up.
Well, what was in it? I mean,
I don't even know, but I was completely like shattered.
Sheep nuts
I'm watching the game, and unfortunately, the Patriots lose. And all I could think is everyone I know at Professor Tom's, everyone I know in Boston is absolutely heartbroken. And then Sam Barkley goes, I just bought this fish for $4 and hands me a 20-pound fish for me to eat, bone, head, and everything. And I take a bite, and it was like the greatest fish I ever had. And I thought, okay, I feel okay now.
You know? All right, little fish. He just like bit the fish?
Oh, we each had our own 20-pound fish for $4. And I thought, okay, maybe it's okay. And I don't want to tell the people, Professor Tom's, because like, they're going tears, not tears of joy. And I'm like, like 2 minutes later, I'm like, I feel good.
All right, how about, let's bring back the food. We never bring back the food. Right. I mean, let's talk about Boston and food.
All right.
I mean, it's
oddly enough, baked beans seem to be something everyone curses us with. But baked beans are not the thing.
No, they're not the thing at all.
And actually, lobster!
Well, I was walking around Boston, and I laughed because I have a picture of it on my phone, and I won't pull it out because nobody can see it on the air. Mm-hmm. But
right.
I found a place called Beantown Hoagie, and I went, you guys aren't from Boston because, one, we don't call it Beantown. Two,
and it's not a hoagie.
We don't eat hoagies.
Yeah.
They're
called grinders.
Grinders.
You're killing me.
Well, Professor Tom's food is outstanding, and I say that not because I'm biased, which I am, but because I have never finished an order of the nachos. The nachos are so big, and I'm admitting this as a competitive eater, but I'm embarrassed to order. They eventually made smaller sizes for casual diners, but I can't order it. I'm like, oh, the nachos. And then Jim's like, you want me to put the leftovers in a pizza box?
Oh.
Like, I only eat wings in New York at two places, Croxley Ale House and Professor Tom's, so I love the wings. And then they do a lobster special, $20, a beer, a lobster, little trade secret. You don't have to get the fries. You can get a little green on the side, so you get your veggies. It's amazing. And they did a – do you still do the Big Burger, even though I advised you against it?
We do still do the Big Burger, but it's not as much of a competition as it used to be.
So there's a 20-patty burger that weighs over 5 pounds.
Yes. At Professor Tom's, you can get a 20-patty burger.
20-patter burger. Yeah, 20-patty burger.
Really?
It's got all the toppings on it. I ate against three teams. It took me 11 and a half minutes.
Paul has a 2-patty burger.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is a 20-patty. And the thing about it is they were very smart. Because anytime you make those big burgers, which are one patty, they taste like hockey pucks. Yeah. Theirs are 20 individual patties. It was absolutely delicious. I was coming off 2 days after I ate 21 Nathan's Hot Dogs and Buns. I ate the Professor Tom's Big Burger, and I felt fine. Like the hot dogs and buns were weighing on me, not the burger.
Well, let's go. Let's go. Okay, let's go around the room and let's talk about like Boston food. What's your favorite Boston food?
The one thing that to bring this into a Boston thing and throw the accent in there, thing that I always think about is the fluffernutter.
Oh,
marshmallow fluff from Lynn, Massachusetts, on peanut butter, white Wonder bread.
Yeah, it's got to be white Wonder
bread.
3 days
it takes to wash that off.
Oh yeah,
it's good. Pete, you got a favorite food or a Professor Farms food?
I'm a big fan of the whole belly clam roll.
Yes.
Which I'm a big Steamers person, and that's
for those who don't know, Steamers are clams, but are absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, but Lansing, Pancheros burritos. Aren't they home with a 2-pound burrito or 3-pound burrito?
They are.
I ate 9 pounds of burrito in one day when I was there.
But I'm not really a lame thing.
All right. Fair enough. Wes, you got a favorite Boston food?
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, give me any seafood as long as I can dip it in butter. And I'm pretty happy with that. And you know, a little shout out to where I grew up in Worcester.
Yeah.
Is your little table talk pies you see at all the bodegas and stuff. Right. So a little something there.
Nice.
Home with a pumpkin.
Tabitha, 6 months in, do you have a favorite Boston food?
It could be Florida.
Well, the one time I went to Boston, the one thing I saw everywhere was like lobster rolls.
Yes.
Which is bringing it back to Lobster Monday at Tom's. Like, there seriously, it is so good. Full circle there.
How about Florida? What do you have down there?
We have everything down there.
Everything. It is true. It is the wild,
everything,
wild west.
Like, please, like, I guess from growing up in Florida, I may be slightly a sucker when it comes to seafood. But seriously, like, our lobster at Tom's is on point, and we do lobster rolls sometimes.
Florida Key lobsters don't have claws either. So
no, it's the snow crabs. So good.
I'm gonna go another place or another direction here, which is at Professor Tom's. There's another event, which seems like it's a sporting event, and I've advised Pete to just film the crowd because you couldn't tell if it was a playoff game or if it was one of the TV events. And they've done a few. They did Lost, which had crowds out the door. I was there for a Celtics playoff game, and I was so worried because I was like, there's like 147 people out the door. And Jim was like, no, don't worry about it. They're going upstairs to see Loft. You get a free sandwich and a beer and a shirt.
Get to it.
But now, Sunday nights, they do Game of Thrones. And I was there 2 weeks ago for the premiere. Everyone is respectful. It's very quiet. When a character gets killed, you get a jello shot. But there's been some controversy in New York. Videology, which is a video store bar with a theater in the back, had been doing Game of Thrones parties, and they were suppressed, cease and desist, by HBO.
Which is bullshit, but go ahead.
Well, you think HBO would diehard fans who are gathering at bars.
Of course.
Now, Pete, you've done some, you talked to MTV, you were in the Post, and you were very kind towards HBO, rightfully so.
As we,
you're not charging an admission fee.
You're
not making money, and you're giving away as much beer or jello shots as you probably be making.
Absolutely.
And what people don't know, and I'm reticent to say this, but
say it.
George R. R. Martin, when he's in New York, he drinks at Professor Tom's.
That's a fact.
And now, has he been there on nights of the Game of Thrones party?
He's come in for Game of Thrones. He's been in twice. He's just kind of sticks his self into it, and then everybody's like, "Wait, is that?"
Because he wears the fisherman's cap.
Oh yeah,
and
I mean, you know,
like,
it's and yeah.
he,
know
and he looks
is.
Like Crazy Legs.
And yeah.
So he's sitting between Stephen Wright and myself.
But he is our
and
one of our
and you you've never really publicized that. You haven't gone to that and asked the favor of whatnot. And right now things are fine, and I think they should be because there's a difference between. Like, the economics of showing the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, that's probably something that is beyond a normal bar's reach. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's going to be, it's in the thousands, right?
Yeah, it's...
So to license that...
Costs about $40 a person just to be able to show it.
And then you're charging. So this is a strictly non-admission, non-ticket event. They've had success with... you guys even did, like, the Bachelor. You've done a few
TV things.
Yeah,
The Bachelor. We knew a few people on The Bachelor, so they hosted that. But we've had a lot of great TV viewing parties.
Yeah.
But it all really got going with Lost.
Yeah. And everything's been great except for the half year I hosted a movie night upstairs when I programmed for an entire year. And it was...
It was all food movies,
of course. It was such obscure films that, like, even the women's...
Oh, you obscure?
Women's roller derby film. It was edited by Martin Scorsese. And I thought I emailed all the roller derby organizations, and a bunch of mathematicians came. They're like, "Oh, we love roller derby." And I have a Pepsi, and I'm like, Jim, the owner's looking at me like, going, "This is the roller derby." I'm like, "We got Whip It by Drew Barrymore. We got Holy Rollers. Martin Scorsese edited it. We got a bunch of dudes."
Is there a sabermetrics for roller derby? Because that would be kind of bizarre.
I saw Susie Hot Rod on the street the other day, so bet on her. That would be my advice. But we do have to wrap up, so let's talk for a moment. We know that you can reach everyone here at Professor Tom's on every night of the week, 219 2nd Avenue, 2nd Avenue between 13th
and 14th. But do you have anything coming up, anything that you want to push, anything? We are about the shameless plug, so what do you got coming up?
Where do people reach you?
We've got the Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday. We're doing a big party for that, and that leads into the fight on Saturday night, yep. which we will have upstairs.
Wow. And then I didn't even get to mention, I was there for Patriots Day. We're a week after Patriots Day. Last Monday, I went to the bar at really an hour before it opened, 10 a.m., and Pete was kind enough to stream the Boston Marathon for me, my favorite sporting event of all time, early Sox game. Any of you guys have anywhere else? I mean, ProfessorToms.com, just come to the bar. They've done great charity events. I'm going to make my request.
And that's Matt Toms, made his. T-H-O-M-S.
Correct. I just want to know when Bill Spaceman Lee is coming back. He used to have a beer named after him. He's my all-time favorite Boston Red Sox, and I used to live around the corner from him. His kids were my age, same bus stop. They almost showed me pornography but decided not to. So I have a lot of connection to the spaceman. And now that Cuba is open, maybe he'll be coming back from playing ball there.
If he comes in, you know, beanies with the little yep. spinny yes. spinny thing on top for everybody. Absolutely, man. The spaceman, come on.
All right. So excellent. So please head to Professor Tom's, not only for the big events, but random nights. Great food, great people. And it is my favorite bar in New York, and I don't say that lightly because I drink at a lot of bars in New York. But for the Reverend, for myself, this is Eating Disorder on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.